Chet, I was remembering this morning how you shared candidly when you first started coming to the church and said, "Boy, they sing a lot, don't they?" You know, when you come from a tradition, I remember when we were at Old Bedford Village and when we added more than three hymns. How it kind of created a real big stir at that point in our congregation. And some of you that came from a traditional church, you know what I'm talking about with that. And you know, it's just a priority for us to worship. It's something that we engage in. I understand though that as we do, we always have to be sensitive to our young ones too. It's hard sometimes with young families, you know. It is when you worship goes so long. And I so appreciate those that can help for our young ones when they just naturally get yancey, and certainly I appreciate our young ones that bear with us during that time until they too begin to understand what it is to worship and understand the concept of really just being willing to express love for God in your heart. And that's what worship is, and that's why we give it such a priority here, is because we want corporately, when we come together and gather like this, we want to have time to really express our heart to God and to really just truly invite His presence here. That in those times, often God does move on the hearts of people and often speaks to the hearts and to the needs of people. You know, that's church, right? In the mission of Acts, we say that we exist as a church to really lift up God in worship, and then we exist to build one another up. And finally, we exist that we may reach out to others that don't know Christ and that have needs in their lives that we as a church family can meet. That mission is a part of what I want to speak to you today about. You can call it a cause, but either way, it is what unites us as a church body. Amen? It's amazing just how divided our world has become. And I think in America, we're seeing more division than perhaps a long time, maybe since the Civil War. I don't know if there's been division in this country so strongly as there is right now. One thing for sure, that God calls us to unity, right? How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the oil running down the Aaron's beard, because that's where the anointing of God is, and we can't afford as Christians to not be united in times like these. Amen? But in order to be united, you must have a common cause, and you must see that cause and be able to abandon individual differences that may exist in order to rally around that common cause. Amen? Churches, you know. There was a really crazy, funny story that I was reading about these two guys that are standing on a bridge, and one is about to jump off, and the other is trying to talk that person out of it. So the man asked the jumper, are you a Christian? Or are you a Hindu or Jew? What? The jumper says, "I'm a Christian." The man says, "Well, you know, so am I. Praise God. Are you Protestant or Catholic?" And the guy says, "Protestant." "Me too," the man says. "Well, what denomination are you?" The guy says, "Baptist." He says, "Me too. Are you Southern Baptist or Northern Baptist?" And the jumper says, "Northern Baptist." And at that point, the guy steps back and says, "Die, you heretic," and pushes him off the bridge. And you know, I read that and I thought, you know, that's crazy. But it kind of brings the message home of just how divided people can become You know, when I remember when I got saved, I came from a particular denomination that thought that it was the only one that was going to heaven. I wanted to know, once I got saved and came to understand the Word of God, which I had not understood beforehand. I hadn't even read it beforehand. How could I understand it? But I wanted to know where all these denominations came from in the first place, you know, like, and I did a great study of church history to help me understand just where all the divisions came from and why. And certainly, you know, when we look at church history, we see how the church had gotten off beam. There's no question about it, that the original church, after, you know, a couple thousand years, really did get off the beam. It didn't even take that long, quite frankly. And you know, when the Reformation came about, it came about because of people wanting to get back to the Word of God and be guided and directed by it, not by man-made doctrines, you know, not by things that people invented, but by the Word of God. Well, today we need to do just that. We need to allow God's Word to unite us as Christians. It is the power to unite if we know it and if we're willing to obey it. Amen? I said there's a lot of talk today, rhetoric, I would call it, if you know that word, about unity. You know, I was watching TV this week, and you know, it was all about uniting a particular political party. Well, the truth of the matter is, everyone knows the power of unity. The power of unity has been known by humans for a long, long time. Do you remember the story of the Tower of Babel, for example? Do you remember what was going on there? Actually, it was a time when humans decided to work together on a building project. They were united for it. Now, interestingly, when God saw them united around this particular project, he said, "I'm going down there because they're going to think that if they're united like they are, they're going to feel this sense of power and purpose. And because they're united for the wrong purpose, I will confuse their unity. I will confuse their speech." Isn't that what he said? Well, what was wrong with their building project? Do you remember? What was wrong with the Tower of Babel that God was so upset that these people working in unity? We're going to accomplish something. Isn't all accomplishment, people working together, good? No. Not if it's for the wrong reason. The Tower of Babel, come on, what was it for? What did they say? That's right, Kathy. They said that, hey, we don't need God. We can reach the heavens. Come on, let's work together. We'll build this tower to the heavens. You understand how that really kind of typifies what even is going on in our world today. People with the intention of abandoning God, saying, "I don't need him," trying to unite around a cause that is not a godly cause. Will God bless things like that? Unity is powerful, and it's actually when done for the right reasons, something that is key in God's kingdom. God sees a purpose for uniting that is the purpose that he created us for, and it's that unity that he blesses. Kim had reminded me about how when she was writing and directing several passion plays during the Easter time. She would actually start rehearsing right after Christmas. And it was amazing. I remember the one particular play when there was about 75 members in the cast of that passion play. And they represented how many different churches? 27 different churches. People had come together and were working together. And once people began to clearly see the purpose of putting on the passion play, and the purpose was to present the gospel of Christ clearly in a way that people could see and respond, especially those who did not know Christ and did not know the power of the gospel, did not know the good news and respond to it. When people were seeing this is possible for us to present the gospel, it was an amazing unity. And there was power. We would worship before practices even. And what a wonderful experience it was, even though there we were gathered with a diverse group of people, people from different churches. I mean, they were even Southern Baptists there. They didn't like everything we did, but, you know, they kind of rose above even not ever experiencing the kind of worship that we were engaged in at that time, you know, raising of hands and really worshiping of God with our emotions as well. But they overlooked it because they saw that we were coming together for a single purpose. And that purpose was something that they understood was designed by God Himself. How good it feels whenever you're united that way. I was saying to Paul this morning that I remember so distinctly whenever the Lord laid a word upon his heart, because he was fixated on it for a while, you know. And I understand that as a pastor, how when God speaks to you, you know, that word is so strong on you. And Paul's phrase came right out of Scripture that he was repeating at that time. And the phrase was simply a question, and it said, "Is there not a cause?" Now, that particular phrase is a passage of Scripture spoken by David when he was a young man. And as a young man, he was sent by his daddy to take some food to his older brothers who were enlisted in the army of Israel. The army of Israel at that time, if you remember, went up against a very imposing force, the Philistines, who had an incredibly large army, and not to mention some pretty big dudes in that army, one of which was called Goliath. Now you remember the story. And so David, young David, comes into the camp, and he happens to come at the time when this Philistine, Goliath, was taunting the army of Israel. And so David, you know, began to ask questions, and his brother, you know, what's going on here? How come nobody's going to fight him? You know, you can just hear this little guy. And his brothers get ticked off. Now, I know all of you that have siblings, you never get ticked off at your siblings, but his brothers really did get ticked off at him. And they told him so. You know, you little runt, they probably said, well, you know, you go home and tend the sheep. Let us do the fighting here. Who you think you are? And so David looks at them and repeats this phrase, but is there not a cause? And little David, young David, I should say, I'm not sure he was that little, but young David got the attention of the king. Who's this kid? That seems like he really is a man of courage. What we find out is after David gets called in by King Saul, that David is willing to go into battle. Why? Because he understood the cause. And he understood that if he was fighting for the right cause, God would be with him. I wonder, you know, if today, you know, people still believe that God is at work, that God has a plan, that God has a cause that he's never given up on. And I wonder if he's calling some of us to believe in that cause again, to the point of believing that God will uphold that cause if we do our part. Our part. I had mentioned during worship the story of King Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah, you don't hear that word too much anymore, do you? You don't call your kids Hezekiah. At least I haven't had a baby named Hezekiah that I've known of for a long time, right? Maybe never, I don't think, in my lifetime. Hezekiah. But Hezekiah was a man who saw the corruption going on in his country. And as a young man, being made king, he wanted to uphold the cause of God. And because of it, he wanted to cleanse the nation, cleanse the temple, turn people back to God. I want to read one verse of Scripture out of this story to make my point today. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 12. One verse, and in it is really a part of the word that I want to speak today. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 12 says this, "Also in Judah, Hezekiah was the king of the nation of Judah, tribe of Judah. Also in Judah, the hand of God was on the people to give them unity of mind to carry out what the king and his officials had ordered following the word of the Lord." See, in that passage of Scripture are all the keys that we need to be able to receive today. The hand of God was on the people to give them unity of mind. Do you believe that God's Spirit can unite His people and give them unity of mind? Do you believe that because of that unity they can carry out that which godly leaders will call for in response to the word of the Lord? See, there's a key, isn't it? The word of the Lord. Hezekiah was successful because what he was doing was in accordance with the word of the Lord. Jesus stood up amidst his disciples, and one of the few times in Scripture where you actually see the details of Jesus' prayer. In John chapter 17, he prayed what is called in my study Bible the great priestly prayer of Jesus. And this was one of the last prayers he prayed before being taken, beaten, and crucified. John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples first, those that are gathered with him. And then he says in the second stanza, "My prayer is not for them alone." This is chapter 17, verse 20. He says, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." Now listen, he says, "That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me." You understand, as we mentioned last week, how the devil knows how to win the battle by dividing and conquering. by getting Christians to not be able to unite with one another, by focusing on differences rather than the common cause. This scripture says, the word of the Lord says that people will come to believe in Christ when they see unity in the body of Christ. When they see unity. Because the world knows, even worldly people know, that in order to bring people that are diverse together, there must be a powerful cause. And if they see unity, they'll ask, what causes unity? Now, how will they see unity? Today, in our world, how will people see unity in the body of Christ? How will unity be manifest? How will it be evidenced to people that don't know Christ? What will they see us do? What will they see us doing? This is kind of a question if you hadn't kind of, there's a question mark after that. What will they see us doing? What? Getting along. Ooh, would that be a good start? Huh? Do you know what it takes to get along? Now, any married person in here should be able to answer that question. What does it take to get along? Yeah. The word compromise, really, the heart of it means that I am not going to be only about me. You know how a marriage works? Marriage works whenever you can suck it up sometimes and make it about the other person, not just about you. Now, granted, it works best when both people are about that. When both people are willing to say, hey, it's not just about what I want. What do you want? What are your needs? What does it take to be able to overcome, you know, the spirit of the world that promotes self above all else? It takes Christians that are responding truly to the Spirit of God inside of them, a Spirit who in Jesus produced the ability to lay down everything he had and be humbled and become a man. Philippians chapter 2 says, we don't often just realize what it would take for Jesus to be squeezed into human flesh, born in a stable. But Philippians chapter 2 says that he was willing to humble himself in obedience to the Father by taking upon the form of a servant, the scripture says. Servant. And Jesus proved not only does it take a strong man or a woman to be a servant, it does, but he proved the power of servanthood. You know what kind of leaders we need today in this world? We need leaders that are servants. They will become the greatest, Jesus said. That's who I want to rally around. And the greatest servant of all, I want to rally around Jesus Christ, who showed me that it is possible. He showed me the power of sacrifice for others. That's what the world wants to see in the united body of Christ, my friends. People in the midst of a world that is breeding selfishness, people that are willing to be selfless, givers of themselves, like our Lord, like the one who loved the world so much that he gave. I was reminded in preparation of this message of a man who, when I was young, I mean, maybe not even a teenager yet, stood up in America and said these words. Now, some of you will remember these words. Ask not what your country can do for you. But what did he say? Now, JFK was no perfect man by any stretch of the imagination. But he was speaking to a country, a principle bigger than himself. One that he probably could have learned a little better. But the proof is, he spoke knowing that it was what was needed in America at the time. What was that message? It's the message of Christ. Don't just be about you. Be about others. When my wife heard this crazy missionary one time say to her, "You ought to go to China." She says, "I'm not going to China." "Why?" he says. "I don't like Chinese people," she said. And he looks at her, he says, "Did you ever meet any?" "No," he says. And he called her out, you know, and you see, what happened was then God used his words that by his Spirit he was confirming something in Kim. And that was a long time ago. How many years ago was that, that word first got spoke to her life, that still is active in her life, causing her to put aside her own business and family to go and serve others? That's really the heart of any mission. Am I not right? You know, when we went to Thailand or Mexico, you know, Cambodia, as the group is preparing to go to Montana, Haiti, you know, what's it about? It's about feeling the call to serve, right? And so I'm working full-time. You know, I'm traveling a lot. I'm down in St. Louis. I pick up a rental car, and I do like I always do. I turn the radio to a Christian radio station, and there's K-Love, you know, in St. Louis. And I hear, you know, when you know, she just came back. I hear this message about a group that's being organized to go to China and Thailand and Japan. And they're going to present the gospel through a creative means of message, music, and dance. And you know what happened? Those words that were broadcast over the radio into my ear, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And I couldn't wait to get on my cell phone and call Kim, and I said, "Kim, we're going back to China." "We're," she said, "yeah, we're." What happened? The Word of God, right? The Word of the Lord is coupled with the Spirit of God, the origin of the Word, and the willingness of a human heart. And it happens. So my friends, you know, as we look at all that's going around, we have to understand there's a cause. There's a mission. There's a purpose for our church, for the Big C Church, body of Christ in the world today. And as that immigrant to America once said, "I don't care what ship you came over on. We're all in the same boat now. We're all in the same cause now. The cause of Christ." We can't afford to be sucked into political rhetoric. We can't afford to, you know, be out there gossiping like others, saying words that should never come out of a Christian mouth in a time when the world needs to see authentic Christianity. servanthood, following our servant leader, Christ. The world needs to see people who are still willing to give of themselves, even though everybody else is being selfish. The world needs to see people whom God will bless and provide for as they rally around His cause. That passage in Isaiah 58 that I read during offering, that's the word, isn't it? Let me read it one more time to close our service today and listen to these words. In this passage of Scripture, you know, it's God's heart that you're hearing, because these words are God's words when He says, "Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen?" Now He starts off because people had gotten away from the whole meaning and purpose of fasting. You know, Jesus talked to this issue as well. People were doing it for show, putting sackcloth and ashes on, going around saying, "Look how holy I am." Outward, but nothing inward. Their actions were betraying their true call. He says, this is the kind of fasting. Is it not to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, set the oppressed free, break every yoke, share your food with the hungry, provide to the poor wanderer with shelters. When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Can you picture that? Get a mental picture of this passage. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. It's a military picture. When the battles of the Lord were fought, the glory of the Lord won the battle. Send Judah first, and the battle will be won, right? Why? Because you're lifting up the cause, the name of Christ. What does He tell us to do? To see the needs and to be willing to give of ourselves to meet those needs in the name of Christ. Acts. There's a lot of reason why we picked the name of Acts for this church. We were called Christ Community Church before we moved here to this plaza. And when we prayerfully thought about, okay, this is a new start for us here, you know, what should be the banner? Well, we were knee-deep in doing passion plays, and it was so powerful to see people united and using theater to spread the gospel, rather. Said Acts, okay, like Acts in a theater, all right. Acts, the book of Acts, I said, this was my part. I said, hey, I want to get back to what the book of Acts church was like, that first church that knew its mission, focused on the right things, not major in the minors, but focus on the Word of God, focus on teaching and equipping and reaching other people. Acts, like the first church. Good. And then someone said, well, you know, Acts is a great acronym for a church that serves. Woohoo! All right, it's a done deal. Acts it is. We began 15 years ago. What is it, Doug, in October? October, 15 years? Yeah, you know. Yeah. Began, and we should never lose focus, right? On a church that serves, a church that comes and is willing to look to others, not just themselves. That's why I started the service the way I did today, the message. You know, I struggle sometimes with how to really have our corporate time together be structured, if you will. Always wanting to be open to God's Spirit leading and guidance, and worried sometimes that worship goes too long because of families with young kids or newcomers that come that aren't accustomed to it, people leaving and saying, "Boy, they sing a lot in that church, you know." And unlike Chet, never coming back, you know, I struggle with these issues because I know that church can not only be about us, you see, you know, when we come together. We have to be sensitive to the needs of others, all the while heeding the voice of the Lord. How challenging is that sometimes? It's pretty challenging. That's why we need everyone, you know, to be a part of what we do and be willing to say, "Hey, I got an idea," or "Here's an idea for a ministry that's needed," or "Here's a mission trip that's really dear to my heart." You see, it's not just about a pastor. It is about the body. Amen? Amen. This is my heart today. Can you hear my heart? We have the greatest cause ever. And it's ours because it's the Lord's. And He is with us and He's not giving up on it. He's going to bless those who are willing to fight for that cause in the right way. To do what is right, even when it's not easy. To do the right thing. To give of ourselves. To be those that receive in order to give. Amen? Amen. Last words? Anybody? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come and we thank You, Lord, that we are called by Your name, Your people. Lord, we're privileged to be a part of Your church, the greatest force that this earth will ever see, the force that will win the world if we understand the cause. To be united as one in our love for one another and love for others, as You called us to, evidenced by our willingness to give of ourselves and all that You've entrusted to us, gifts, talents, abilities, resources. Lord, so I'll spend myself till I'm empty and poor, all for You, because I know, Lord, that You will revive me. You're the source that never will run dry. And so we trust in You, Lord. We trust in You. We have faith in You, Lord, to fill us and use us and make it a continual process. Thank You for this day, Lord, and thank You for these that have gathered today in Your name. I pray Your richest blessing upon each one, O God, that You would send them forth, Lord, encouraged and knowing that even today, as they have shown up in a beautiful summer day, it's an evidence of their commitment, Lord, to Your cause. Bless them and keep them in theirs, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.